Blog Talk Radio.
Fiddler, he's a runaway. Now, you understand that I cannot countenance that sort of behavior. Do you understand the word countenance?
Yes. But you told me he was mine, Master. You said when we was bringing him back from auction.
Yes, you're to turn into a proper field hand, and since he ran away, you didn't do a very good job. Isn't that a fair deduction? Do you understand the word deduction?
Yes, sir, Master, I understand.
Mind your tone, Fiddler, mind your tone. Mind it well. I anticipate some adjustments will be forthcoming toward you as a result of all this.
Yes, sir. I just hate to see a prime field hand like that boy all ruined.
I want every buck I want to the barn.
It's just that you paid good money for that African guinea man, and you shouldn't...
You're going to see how a bad nigger gets turned good.
You got an investment. Lord God.
You're quite finished, Fenner.
Yes, sir, Master. Old Fiddler's finished, right enough.
That is correct. Mr. Ames is now in charge of the African. You failed me, Fiddler. And what we'll do about that, we'll discuss at a later time.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funky lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Once again, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternoon Radio. The time is 7.02 p.m. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, we have an hour, and you know how these things go. An hour can go very quickly. So let's go to a quick groove, and actually I'm going to talk briefly, and I do mean briefly. My email has been blowing up off of this E.J. Johnson story, Magic Johnson's young son, I should say adult son. He came out, and I'm trying to formulate an opinion, honestly, folks. I'm trying to formulate an opinion. I think I came up with something. By the way, just to give you further data, it appears that we're going to have a guest on Wednesday, next Wednesday. Well, I did mention this, actually. But you know what? I'll save it to after the break. Let's go to a quick groove. It's always the same guy. His Royal Badness, Prince. Let's Go Crazy, the Reloaded Edition. The Reloaded Rehearsal Edition. Never heard it done quite like this before. We'll be back. Let's groove.
We'll be right back.
okay. Folks, you're not ready. I must repeat, you're not ready. Again, that was the Rehearsal Reloaded edition of Let's Go Crazy 2013. Folks, you have a lot to get into, so let me just get through the preliminaries. Of course, we have to give our respect and the intro to James Tiberius Kirk. Kirk, listen, it's time. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Captain.
Hello. Yes, I'm here. I'm in the field. I'm in the field, ladies and gentlemen, but I am still here. Let's get it started, Mr. Afro Nerd.
Sounds good. All right, folks, I really didn't have an opinion on this thing. I mean, I saw this TMZ clip about young master Irvin Johnson III, I believe is his full name. So he shares the namesake as his illustrious and legendary father. And I saw the clip on TMZ, and it's a couple of things. Being respectful. Being the child of an icon can't be easy. In whatever field the parent is in, whether it's in science, whether it's in politics, and especially now in sports and entertainment, I would assume it's not an easy thing. So, you know, you wonder if he was not Magic Johnson's son, would we even care? This will be another day in the life. And I think it's on some part, it's our need to be voyeuristic, that we have to look in on not only the legend, but the legend that shares, you know, the DNA of the legend. We have to know what's going on as well. Now everyone is a star, and we have to be in this man's business. As I said before during the broadcast, start of the show, I got emails, and it's blowing up the internet, it's blowing up the cyberspace, and I have responded by simply saying, listen, this is the new world order. Black folks, I hate to put it this way, but it seems in some respects, as far as civil rights, sometimes I think we've had our time. And now other folks, this is the way things have been for a long time. Other folks come on in on what we have accomplished. And you're saying, what is he talking about? Well, now it's the gay person's time. Gay people are they said this. I'm not really comfortable with it, but gay may be the new black. In this case, gay is the new black, referencing Johnson's son. Ultimately, I don't have a dog in this race. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think about it. I know that Mr. Johnson, the elder, is probably not happy about it. But he loves his son. He has PR to think about. And then he also has a disease. You know, we forget he's so healthy looking. We forget that he has a disease that at one time was very much, and still is to a certain degree, but especially at the time that he announced that he came out, theoretically, I'm saying came out in a different way, came out as having the HIV virus. So, you know, that disease was very much connected to being gay. So that also makes this very, I don't know, I don't say it was weird. It makes it, I guess, intriguing, one could say. Right before I went on air, I did think of one thing, though. I think what does make this troubling, and it's almost like hip-hop and the state of music, there's no balance. I think the image of black masculinity, we do need to see black men being conventionally men and masculine. We need to see that, whereas the alternative is the alternative. It is what it is. But I just see so many different portrayals of blackness, black masculinity, that seem to run on this theme of not really holding it down. You're not rearing your kids. You're not in your kids' lives. The black community, it's not everybody, obviously. It's not everybody. It's a portion. The black community is not really being helmed by black men. Black women desperately want black men to be men. And this compounds the problem, I think. But to be respectful, you have to be what you have to be. I don't have a dog in this race. I don't know what to say. That's my opinion. I do want to see conventional, strong, masculine black men doing the damn thing. Because with this going on and then the lack of strong black male leadership, it looks a little troubling. And that's not a slant against Mr. Johnson, the younger. That's what I think about it. I think we need to start seeing black men rearing these kids and sticking up for the woman. We saw Jamie Foxx in Django. It was a special moment, even though it was a cinematic moment. It was a special moment because we saw ruggedness, rawness, doing the damn thing. And then maybe this stuff wouldn't be so bothersome. That's my opinion. I came with it on the fly. Captain, I don't know. You said you don't really have an opinion. Maybe, you know, whatever you want to say, and we'll move along. Cap.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, when it comes to someone's sexuality at this given state of time, circa 2013, I have no comment on an individual's sexuality. So I'll keep all my opinions to myself. There you have it. That's all.
That might be the smart play. I'm essentially with you, man. I mean, you know, I think people are troubled by this, whatever. I just want to see whatever this young man's about. Not really. I don't have an opinion. I'm more concerned about we do need to see masculine black men or conventionally masculine black men really taking hold of their communities and really bringing it back home. And then, you know, maybe this would be less disconcerting. That's it. All right, folks, again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I wanted to also mention that I think I mentioned this last show, but we've gotten a tentative date for an appearance by Ms. Rolanda Watts, actress, journalist, businesswoman, entrepreneur. She's coming through to discuss the question of diversity with black magazines. I believe even Jada Pinkett Smith posed a question. I'm going to ask her about this, but Jada Pinkett Smith posed a question about should black magazines make a greater effort to have, for all intents and purposes, white folks on their covers? Does it always have to be black? And some people took offense to that because, for obvious reasons, I mean, you know, the mainstream culture doesn't necessarily do an adequate job of kowtowing to minority representation or minority needs. So when blacks and browns and people of color do what they do, they do it because of the absence from mainstream. But we'll mix it up. I think it's worthy of discussion, so we'll look forward to having her on. And actually, we're looking at a second appearance on Saturday by Sebastian Elkelby. Mr. Elkelby, if you remember, he is a former hip-hop publicist, and now he has a campaign to essentially request or demand some improvement in hip-hop by way of a petition, and I think he's going to make some ground with this thing, so I want to help him out. We're going to talk about it. I mean, since I spoke to him behind the scenes, and I said, it's been a few months since you were last on, and if you could believe it, things have actually gotten worse in a few months between Lil Wayne and his fiasco with the image of Emmett Till, and now from last week, a week and a half ago, with Rick Ross and what he said, you know, rapey rape, not really rape, that whole thing. It's actually gotten worse, so it should be pretty interesting when he comes through on Saturday. So Saturday, Sebastian Elkaby, folks, and then on Wednesday, same time today, next week, hopefully, we'll have Ms. Rolanda Watts. The fetching Rolanda Watts, I should say. I had a big thing on her when she was doing New York news. She is gorgeous. So I'll try to, you know, I am not Magic Johnson's son. I'll tell you that right now. But you already knew that. But she's, I'm going to respect her. But she, you know, the captain knows. Ms. Watts, you know, back in the day. All right. Folks, let's get into some of the show. You know, actually, I know Mr. Sergio Mims. I might want him to come through now. I think he's waiting in advance. He is our regular contributor on the entertainment tip, if he could come through. He has an interesting piece on Paul Robeson and Shadow and Act. He's one of the major forces behind Shadow and Act. He's also a film critic from Chicago. And we have a friendship, and he's come to New York a number of times, and he's been a stalwart listener to the show, a supporter of the show. And I love his site. Shadow Knack is the site to go to right now. It is the site to go to. It's the anti-minstrel site. Although he will admit he has a penchant for Bossett, I have a begrudging penchant, he's a little bit more forthcoming about it, but with Media Takeout and Bossip, they do a different kind of chicanery, a different kind of minstrel show. Shadow and Act is not that. I doubt you will hear anything about Paul Robeson. You might hear Paul Wall on Shadow and Act. I mean, sorry, not Paul Wall, Shadow and Act. But you will hear more from Paul Wall on Bossip Media Takeout before you will hear anything about the great Paul Robeson. So without further ado, let's listen to Mr. Mims. Let's bring him on in. Tell us what's the goings-ons with ShadowAndAct.com.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. What's the deal?
So what is it you wanted to know about the piece I wrote on Paul Robeson? Well, let me tell you. The piece I wrote was that I like to, at the beginning of every month, I like to go through Turner Classic Movies' schedule, always on the first, because they release it on the first, and I always go through it and check off things I want to see. And I noticed that this Thursday, tomorrow, at 11 o'clock, 11:15 here in the Midwest, 12:15 on the East Coast, they're showing a real rarity. They're showing Paul Robeson's film, Proud Valley, which is a really good film. Some people may have a problem with the ending. I didn't talk about that in the movie. But it's a film he made when he lived in London for the mid-30s until about the 1940. And he made a series of pictures. And he was never happy about the movies he made. He always felt that no matter their intentions, they always wind up being stereotyped, particularly Sanders of the River, which they refixed after he left the project to make it a blatantly pro-colonialist, British colonialist, imperialist movie. Something he was not happy about. Reportedly, he walked out at the London premiere when he saw the picture, and he tried to buy back prints of the film because he just didn't want anybody to see it. But of all the films he made, he always said the one he was proudest of the most was Proud Valley, in which he plays a wanderer, a drifter who wanders into this Welsh mining town. And, of course, since it's Wales, A, the mine, and two, there's a choir. And once they hear his singing, he becomes a member of the choir and he becomes a minor. And, you know, shortly after that, he becomes a hero. It's a little episodic. It's a pretty thin story, but it really reflected a lot of what Robeson believed in. He believed in brotherhood, the humanity of man. He was an avowed socialist, leftist. He believed very much in the working man and the struggles of the working man. And for that, you know, he was heavily prosecuted by the U.S. government during the 1950s Red Scare. There was one point where they even took away his passport so he couldn't leave the country.
Well, he was blacklisted. I mean, that's you know, during that
right.
McCarthyism. Right.
Right. The whole McCarthy, the House of American Activities Committee. And he was very controversial. He was really very controversial in his lifetime because he was a black man who actually said what he believed and was very political, and stood on his ground, you know. And I'm trying to hard-press to think of people, and even at the risk of his career, because, you know, when he, during those years, when he was blacklisted, he couldn't work. Nobody would hire him. He didn't do a comeback by the mid-50s to the late 50s. He did a spectacular comeback after, you know, the whole area, that whole blacklisting area passed. He did Othello again. He toured around the world. So, I mean, he did come back. But there was this period during the early 50s to mid-50s where he didn't work. He couldn't work. He couldn't leave the country. He couldn't accept offers out of the country. And he didn't make any money. And it was very hard on him. And Sidney Poitier, in his biography, talks about knowing Robeson at that time and the struggles he went through. So, you know, he was an amazing person. And right, you wouldn't see you won't see anything about him. Hell, you won't see anything about him today in Ebony magazine, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, you're right about that.
You know,
I mean, when I saw your piece, you didn't really have to, you know, pull my teeth to read about Paul Robeson. You know, not to poke fun at Magic Johnson's son or anything, but this is what I'm talking about: old school black masculinity and the what a black man can do as far as you know. Listen, you know that I'm into this whole goofy comic book thing. But when it comes down to the living embodiment of a superhero, a man that could literally do it all, that was Paul Robeson. A phenomenal singer, phenomenal actor, an attorney.
Exactly. He was an attorney. He was a star athlete. He was an attorney. He was he had one of the greatest voices I've ever heard. One of the greatest voices I've ever heard in my life. Anybody's life. You hear Paul Robeson, you know Paul Robeson in a minute when you hear that voice. And like I said, of course, he sang in all his movies, but in Proud Valley, you get to see him here sing Deep River, and it's really moving.
Well, I know he's probably best known for Emperor Jones, and I even have a picture of Mr. Robeson standing by a black and white photograph of him in the Emperor Jones costume or Emperor Jones, you know, regalia, and he's looking out this window. It's a pretty, but you know, he's a mountain of a guy. I mean, when you think about black masculinity and the ability to be an ultimate polymath, someone who could do it all, jack of all trades, whatever euphemism you want to use, that's Mr. Robeson. And we're still following that now. I mean, and he's great in his own right. Harry Belafonte to this day references him as really, you know, learning from him, likening himself to being a protege of Mr. Robeson. So you see how great he is. I mean, he may be a little wacky as far as politics. That's my own opinion. But you can't take anything away from you know, when you know he's a hard guy. I got to try to get him on the show also. But he's one of my heroes. You know, these guys are cut from a different cloth than what we see today.
Well, they are what they used to call race men. There are no race men today. They used to be called race men. And race men was a term used to black men. It was used towards men. Women weren't called race women, but you know, even though they were race women as well. But race men were men who believed that their mission was to uplift the race. their mission was to be a shining example of what was possible for black people. Marcus Garvey, what was possible for black people to do? They, you know, looked at themselves as that. We don't really have race men today.
Not even Denzel would be classified as that. I think Sidney Poitier might be the last race man.
But Jim Brown, you know. You know, we really don't have race men today. Which goes to the other point I wanted to make. Now, the most comments we've gotten today, of course, has to deal with Tyler Perry in this movie, Temptation. Okay. And,
hold on a second. A game. Not Paul Robeson.
No, far from it.
The stark difference.
Here's the point.
Can't be Paul Robeson, but come on now.
No, but here's the point. Here's the thing. As always, whenever we write something about him, and because of the movie Temptation, and there've been a lot of comments, of course we get all these people who come up and defend him, right? And I wrote an article. I was going to republish it, but we decided to hold off on it because we just thought we'd just been Tyler Perry too much. I'll put it later, maybe a month from now. But if people who defend him, they always say the same two things. They say, three things. One, you're a hater. Two, he makes a lot of money. And three, he owns his own film studio. Okay. They never talk
and
about
he employs a lot of black
movies.
And he employs a lot of people.
Okay. Here's the point. Number one, a lot of black people make a lot of money. Number two, he owns his own film studio, so what? A lot of filmmakers have owned their own film studios. Francis Ford Coppola, the Scott brothers, Ridley and Tony Scott, Charlie Chaplin, Robert Aldrich. And on top of that, he's not the first black guy to own a studio. That was Tim Reed, who owned his own studio a decade earlier. So I'm trying to figure out, what is it about this guy that people got to defend him? I mean, what is it about him? And I realize it's not his movies. It's class resentment. This is what I mean. A lot of people look at him and see themselves in him or see who they wish they could have been. Everybody knows his story. He was born poor in the South, had an abusive father. He was poor. I mean, he lived in a car. He struggled, and he made it. And a lot of people look at him and say, you know what? I could have been like him. You know, I had the same background. I've struggled. Maybe if I believed in myself more, maybe if I had one person who believed in me, maybe if I just believed in myself, I could have been where he is. So I think so that's the point. He inspires, and also you notice that when you criticize him, people will say, well, you're an elitist or you're a bougie. Who are the villains in this movie? Bougie elitist, college-educated women, right? Same people who look at him and said, all these bougies are always putting me down because they don't think I'm good enough. Well, Tyler Perry shows him he's made a lot of money. He's got his own studio. You know who I equate him with? I equate him with, don't laugh at me, Ron Jeremy. Now, why
okay,
do I agree
you
with
have
Ron
to explain
Jeremy?
That one. You're going to have to explain
okay,
that.
Okay, no, I'll explain it to you. I've been with Ron Jeremy. I've seen him in person. When he's around, he's like a rock star. He is, for those of you who don't know, Ron Jeremy is a porn star. He's been in the business now for like 30 years. Right, he's a legend. There's been a documentary made about him, Ron Jeremy, porn star. He is a legend, right? He's like a rock star. I've seen him on the street and people want his picture. They scream Ron. Everybody wants to be like him. And why is that? Because he's a fat, ugly guy. He's a fat, ugly Jewish kid from New York. He was ugly 30 years ago. Now he's fatter and he's really ugly. And guys look at him and said, I could have been like him. You know,
if you have the equipment.
Well, yeah, but right. But, you know, guys look at him and said, you know what? If I had a confidence in myself, maybe I could have banged that hot secretary who works in my office. Maybe if I believed in myself, maybe if I had a little bit of luck like Ron Jeremy, I could have had sex with all those women like he does. It's the same thing. It's wish fulfillment.
Well, listen, tell us more about what's going on your blog as well. Like what are the heightened pieces that the audience should look out for at Shadow and Act?
Well, let me think. Of course, we always cover, we always do a lot of work, a lot of thing on Walking Dead, and particularly the actress who plays Michonne,
the black sword wielder girl,
who I actually met maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. She's before she had the role, before she had the part. People don't know her background. She has a really fascinating background. She was born in Iowa, but her parents are Zimbabwean. And when she was 3 years old, her parents went back to Zimbabwe, and she lived there till she was 18, till she came back to the States to go to college. Her parents were big opponents of Mobutu. And that's right. No, not Mobutu. I mean the guy who runs Zimbabwe now. Not Mobutu. What's his name? Who runs Zimbabwe? He's got the little mustache and the glasses.
I'll look it up now.
Okay. And her family was under house arrest for a year. But what people don't know is that she's also a playwright. She's written many plays that have been performed at the Goodman Theater. That's when I met her, Goodman Theater here in Chicago. They've been performed in Los Angeles at Princeton University. She's just won an award, and now she has a deal to start writing her own TV show. She's really interesting. She's a fascinating person, you know, to be with and to meet, and her background. Once again, she's not the usual, you know, she's no Little Kim. You know, I mean, she's not.
Well, you know, you might have to update that now. You know, Little Kim isn't even Little Kim anymore. I don't think she could even recognize herself if she saw herself in the mirror. You have to go to Nicki Minaj now. Nicki Minaj is the new Little Kim.
Yeah, that's right.
To Little Kim's chagrin.
Yeah, Little Kim has become, you know, Asian. I don't know. I don't know who that woman is. I don't know.
Robert Mugabe you're talking about. Robert Mugabe.
Mugabe, that's it. Mugabe. That's what I mean. Mugabe. Right. Not Mobutu. Mobutu was the Congo.
Right.
Let me see. What else? Let me go to the site. What else have we been talking about here in Shadow and Act? That's gotten a lot of talk. Of course, 12 Years a Slave now has a release date. Steve McQueen's movie. It's been picked up by Fox Searchlight.
You have to tell them that Steve McQueen is not the Steve McQueen, the late Steve McQueen, but the black Londoner Steve McQueen.
Right. He's a black artist. He's a black visual artist, highly acclaimed. Highly acclaimed. Black visual artist, and also he's a director. And the thing I like about Steve McQueen is that he thinks really outside the box when it comes to movies. His first movie was Hunger, which was about Bobby Sands and the IRA hunger strike back in the 1980s during Margaret Thatcher. Then his very next film was Shame, which came out a year before last, which was about a guy who has a sex addiction, Michael Fassbender. And I have a autographed Blu-ray copy of that movie. Thank you, Mr. McQueen. And that was from the guy of NC-17 rating and has, I think it's great. I think it's terrific. So now his next movie is 12 Years a Slave. And I like the fact that he thinks outside the box. You know, he's not like, I'm not going to do a rom-com, you know, with Paula Patton. I'm not going to do some lame comedy. I want to do something with some substance to it. I want to do something that's going to have people, that's controversial, that's going to have people talking. I guarantee you, 12 Years a Slave is going to be very controversial. There have been test screenings of the movie around the country. We have posted reactions of people who have been to the test screenings, and sad to say that in these test screenings, black people have a problem with the movie. I'm not surprised. It's hard to get black. This is not Django. Django's a fantasy. This is a movie that actually deals with the reality of slavery. And that's going to be hard for a lot of black people to take if they choose to see the film.
Let, give us one last point. So we got to go to a musical break, and we got to go to another segment. But give us one last point on that movie. What is the difference between that and Django? Like, black folks embrace Django. Why aren't they, at least, you know, from this test screening, why aren't they embracing
Because, like I said, Django's a fantasy. This black man, you know, who wipes out all the slave owners at the end, who gets revenge to help his woman. 12 Years a Slave is based on a true story about a man named Solomon Northrop, who was a free black man in the North. He was kidnapped, brought down south, and was kept a slave for 12 years until he managed to escape again. And he wrote a book about his experiences. It's not easy. The reality of slavery is that there was no Django. There were slave rebellions. That is true. There were slave rebellions. Unfortunately, all the slave rebellions failed. They failed simply because they were outgunned. There were many black people, of course, who escaped through the Underground Railroad, who made their way to freedom. But for those people who were, you know, trapped in that peculiar institution, as it was called, a slavery, it was brutal, it was hard, it was ugly, and it was disgusting. And that's what this film is going to show. And, you know, there's no hero coming to the rescue, blowing away all the white people. That's not going to happen.
Well, listen, tell the audience how to get you and, you know, more about Shadow and Act.
Yeah, we'll be around now for, oh my gosh, four, maybe going on 5 years. 5 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. I haven't been on, and you can go on blogs, indiewire.com/Shadow and Act, or just go to IndieWire. Just go to IndieWire.com and go to the blog section, and you'll find us. You'll
Sounds
find
good.
Us.
Serge,
That's
as always.
That's the easiest way to find us.
In another 2 weeks, we want more information.
Oh, by the way, talk about Rolanda Watts. You remember when she had a talk show on TV? She had a syndicated talk show?
I knew someone who was a producer on that show. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I used to watch that show all the time because Rolanda Watts would wear the shortest skirts. On that
Rolanda
show.
Watts is that, and her hair was well coiffed. I mean, I knew her before that. She did local news. I'm going to mix it up with her a little bit. I'm curious about what she's doing, but yeah, forget it. Rolanda Watts was the best to me.
I used to watch that show. I thought, oh my God, she was bad. Well, I'm telling you,
one of the last black beauties to me. Before the Real Housewives phase that we're in right now, where there are
I see your point. Yes, of course.
Follow me.
Yeah.
All right, Serge. Listen. Yes. As always, we appreciate it. Sergio Mims, Shadow and Act.
Okay.
Folks,
thanks a lot.
Thanks, Serge. Sounds good. Folks, we're gonna go to a quick groove. We got about 20 minutes left, and then I want to talk about Dr. Ben Carson. I'm a big fan of Dr. Carson. I don't know anyone who could not be a fan of Dr. Carson. But if you come out in a different way now, if you come out as a black conservative, it could be a problem. Trust me, I know. Trust me, I know. All right, let's go to this quick groove. This is an oldie but goodie. Let's give you some hip-hop. I don't want to give the impression I'm anti-hip-hop. This is Craig Mack. Get Down, featuring Q-Tip Remix. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Now who got the slave that comes with dime a dozen that keeps them buzzing, thinking that they fat when they wasn't? Fuck the truth, the word, and Mac. Or Mac, we use more like fans. They eat them shit like Pac-Man. I'm incredible. Better eat the best one. Cut. I does what I do. Mike check 1-2. I'm a rain. style's rigged, sick, I mean real sick. This thick, I come with the ammo, the real whammo, ammo, stuff the copy time, and always quick. Must warm up the hot seat. I'm changing fate from the neck, I'm a captive. My rap loves to alienate, shake your ass to the stake, get stumped by dominate. See, I ain't scared of you, to me you're all suckers, cause I make the buck, make your noise, drop the buck. Control for the truth, no coop on the roof, biting like a saber tooth.
Can I get down?
I pound on the ground when I get down, so let me get down.
All right, folks, giving you just a skosh, a skosh. That was Craig Mack, Q-Tip, get down, giving you a little bit of vintage hip-hop again, folks. We are giving you urban alternative music, whether it's black rock, afro-punk, jazz, acid jazz, funk, especially funk in my case. We're going to give you what the conventional radio outlets are not giving you. So it is what it is, folks. I want to talk about Dr. Ben Carson. Well, you know what? Let me back it up. I'm hearing that the Oracle wants to make an appearance again, Captain. So, again, to our listening audience, if you're new, you may not know this. The Oracle is my father. So he was on a few years ago, I think in 2009, and we replayed that broadcast. I think it might have been on Father's Day. I might have replayed it last Father's Day. And it was a very popular broadcast because obviously folks get an insight as to how I came to be, and I'm pretty very much like my pop, so he wants to make another appearance, so we'll figure out something to have him on. He'll always be a great guest, just as I am a great host. Undoubtedly my dad is going to be a great guest, so he's going to come through again at some point, so that should be pretty interesting. Okay, and also about the whole black masculinity thing, and I'm sure the captain can talk about this. Having an involved father is the roadmap to how this masculinity thing is supposed to work. Not to keep on beating up on Mr. Johnson's son. I don't know what kind of father he was. It looks like he's a great dad, but there's something to involved parenting, especially. A black dad. That is crucial. I may have to do a show on that within itself. All right. Moving forward. Dr. Ben Carson, noted neurosurgeon. And, you know, there was a movie, I think it was a made television movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. And this man is a phenomenal medical doctor. A lot of accolades, high cognition. I'm on this brainy black thing. Obviously, you know, the show is called Afro Nerd, but I'm really about this. I'm really about showcasing it, reading about it, trying to highlight it, put a brand on it. That's what the Afro Nerd thing is now. I'm hearing more and more people using the term blurred. Yeah, I don't know. The Afro Nerd sounds a little bit, you know, I'm going to toot my own horn. Even the captain has talked about this. Afro Nerd just has a better sound to it, but God bless him. Blurred, whatever. Anyway, Captain, you want to say
something? Yes, sir.
No, I hear you in the back. You know, you talked about this blurred thing. I'm not really keen on the word blurred. Anyway. Dr. Ben Carson has come out as of late, in the last couple of weeks. He was at the CPAC breakfast. It's safe to say that he is probably conservative. I mean, he's been on Fox News quite a bit. He's the darling, or they're trying to position him as the darling of the Republicans now. There's talk, presidential talk, you know. But at the same time, he's saying some things that are unsettling to some people. Now, let me – you heard me right. Unsettling to some people. He says some things about the gay folks, liking gayness in some indirect way to bestiality. I don't agree with him on that. He also said, I think the latest controversy now is that he equates white liberals to racists. white liberals to racists. So if I can find this clip, I think it's more interesting as to how some on the liberal side are reacting to a statement more than the statement itself. That is the part that is more telling. How people who are undoubtedly progressive are reacting to him. Let's see. All right. This is, well, you know what? This is Torre on Ben Carson and GOP. Let's see if I can play a little bit of this. Torre, MSNBC's Torre, who was supposed to have done our show. So, not that I'm holding any grudges, Captain. Torre on Ben Carson. Hold on.
So we're clear, I'm not really into being the black friend. Don't get me wrong, I have lots of white friends. Ari's one of them. But if I get that sense that you like me just because I'm black and you're sort of exoticizing that, then your email stopped getting returned. I think a lot of black people would agree, but the demand for black friends continues because some people need them to make themselves feel not racist. Take the Republican Party. Sometimes they have that not-so-fresh feeling.
What?
I mean fresh in the hip-hop sense. What did you think I meant?
Gross.
Anyway, their recent autopsy found that they must, quote, be committed to building a lasting relationship within the African-American community based in mutual respect and with a spirit of caring. They do indeed need to build that because I don't feel cared about by the GOP at all. People who respect and care about me don't try to suppress my vote. I'm kind of big on that. Also, if you want to show me you care, stop trying to kill the Voting Rights Act and affirmative action and calling me a taker and a lazy person and a non-real American. But such is the dysfunctional, abusive relationship the GOP insists on with black folk. They say they want a new relationship while continuing to try to screw us over. When you're publicly admitting your party doesn't care enough about black America, then it's time for a new black friend. Enter Dr. Ben Carson, who's been embraced recently because he's smart and helpful in assuaging their guilt. Carson is a bootstrap kind of guy, speaking their language, talking like he built his path from a poor kid to a pediatric neurosurgeon all by himself. He must have gotten government-backed school loans, which is a form of public assistance, but let's not let facts derail a good I built it without help story. Carson is a brilliant medical thinker, but he's got intellectual tumors in his mind like a flat tax, which is regressive and ignorant in the face of American wealth inequality, where the top 1% own 35% and the bottom 60% own 2.3%. I doubt Jesus would tax them equally, just as I doubt the GOP would entertain a white non-politician with unserious ideas. But Carson's enjoying the GOP's version of affirmative action, where black faces that can spit conservative game get raced to the front of the line, because then people get to put a bumper sticker on their cars saying, "How can I be racist? I would have voted for Carson," which will fit nicely over the bumper sticker saying, "How can I be racist? I would have voted for Kane," which fit nicely over the bumper sticker saying, "How can I be racist? I would have voted for Alan West." Yes, any black friend will do, no matter how far outside the political system they emerge from, and no matter how unserious their ideas are, because it's all make-believe. None of them will ever get a nomination for the presidency, just as the GOP will never get black votes, because the only thing they care about is winning and not the economic or social needs of black people. But in the meantime, imagine away, you guys. At CPAC, Carson said, "Let's say you magically put me in the White House." But my brother, no magic is required to accomplish that. As soon as the sequester ends, you could take a White House tour. All right.
All right. A couple of things quickly. First of all, that's not the clip that I want. I mean, that clip will suffice. But there's a clip that I actually downloaded and failed to load up properly. But it's a clip from the Huffington Post Live portion of the Huffington Post website. And Dr. Carson, they took the actual soundbite from Dr. Carson when he was on Mark Levin's show. Mark Levin is a noted kind of a rambunctious conservative talk show host. And while Dr. Carson was on Levin's show, he had talked about white liberals being racist. And he had said he thought they were racist because they tried to box black thought in or put black black thought in a box. That if you are black and you don't think their way, it's a problem, and it can come off racist. Now, the reason why AfroNerd is even in existence is because of this box. Now, what was crazy was the clip that I wish I had played. The clip had these two commentators on Huffington Post Live, and they were saying one was a woman of Asian descent, so she knew full and well what was going on. She had said, well, if I understand him correctly, now the man is a medical doctor, all about communication. She said, well, if I understand him correctly, he's trying to say that minorities are being put into a box. What box are liberals putting minorities in? She was being very coy. Both the commentators were being very coy about what he meant. And it is very clear that on the other side of the political spectrum, that there is a problem if you don't think the way black people are supposed to think. Black folks are supposed to be liberal. You're not supposed to be independent, have an independent thought in your skull. So I thought that, wow, I might have been able to ride with their critique of Dr. Carson. I might have been if they were not being disingenuous when they were critiquing the man. Don't come off like you don't know what he meant. See, when you sit there and you roll your eyes and you're looking around like, oh, I don't really know what he means, but then you proceed to pretty much articulate what he said, and you pretend like you don't know what he means, you're disingenuous, you're being phony. I think he has a point. I think he does have a point. Not so sure about his critique of gays, because in his profession, psychiatry, 1970, they deemed that gayness is not craziness. That is not, you know, if you're gay, doesn't mean that you're crazy. Before, they would institutionalize you if you were a gay person. So that's from the medical profession. So I find it interesting that a medical doctor would deem it or align it to bestiality. Whether you agree or disagree with gay marriage, that's a separate issue than talking about what two consenting sentient adults do. Whether again, I don't know anything about it, but I do know that people have the right to do whatever the hell they want to do. So, but I'm not going to discount Dr. Carson as far as his standing, his accomplishments, his reasoning on many things. I think he's a person to look out for. It's going to be very difficult to break this man down. I'll tell you right now, this man, highly learned. That's really the problem. Another thing, too. He is very accomplished. He knows his stuff. And if you're progressive, you do not like it. It might be a little different on Herman Cain. Herman Cain is impressive on paper. But Dr. Carson is the real deal. And they're going to have a problem with this guy. And that's the real issue. Captain, we got 4 minutes. Captain, what are your thoughts on this?
Dr. Carson. Well, when it comes to Dr. Carson, he's entitled to have his own opinion. Now, I do not agree with everything that he says, but even as me and you interact on the show, we don't agree with everything. But even when we don't agree, we interact synergistically to take the show to a higher level, still all in all. So, you know, one thing I definitely agree with him when he said political correctiveness, and this is something we've said since day one on this show, is killing America. You're not allowed to have your own personal thought. You do have to think one way. If the movement, based on what the media says, the think tank, is the way the movement is going, that's the way you have to think. And dare you think differently from that. They have a problem with you. I definitely agree with that. So he's definitely on something with that. And that is the truth. That's just the way it works. That's exactly the way it works. You have to think this way. This is what the media says, the way this group of people are thinking. You have to think this way. If you think opposite, you're crazy. You become some daft individual. That's all. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Well, you know, you're saying something very – now it's getting hot in here, and we got 3 minutes remaining, Captain. But you just reminded me of something, that there is a wave of consciousness – and I don't want to just get on the gay folks. I don't want to get on them. But there is this thing of everyone is supposed to be in agreement on the way the culture is going. you hit it now, Captain. Everyone is supposed to be in agreement, and if you're not really down with the program, we're going to have to deal with you. You're going to be publicly shamed.
Absolutely.
That is what's going on right now. That is what's going on right now. So I find it interesting that, you know, I don't know if it's a media invention. I don't know what, if it's societal, maybe a combination of both. But you're supposed to think this way, people. You're supposed to think this way. And if you're not with the program, you're going to be publicly shamed. Now, what I thought about this afternoon, actually, is people are collectively agreeing that gay folks should be treated in a certain fashion, blah, 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 blah. I'm not disagreeing or agreeing. I'm not looking at that angle, but I do find it interesting that the black, quote unquote, black problem is not being treated, or it has not been treated that respectfully, Captain. Will you agree? That's the part I find very interesting. Is that everyone's being, not everyone, folks, I don't want to talk in generalities, but it appears that, well, we know this is the way the culture is going, and we have to be respectful and analytical and really respectful. I don't see that. I do not see that with black folk. I don't think I've ever seen that. Not really. Not really. The red carpet is not being thrown down for black folks and some of the stuff that's going on with us. The minstrelsy, all that stuff, that's allowed to continue. That's allowed to continue. What are your thoughts on that? We got about a minute, Cat.
I agree.
Am I on to something?
Summed it up perfectly. You're on to something. Summed it up perfectly. Totally.
All right, folks. Listen, Sebastian Elkelby, former hip hop publicist, is coming through. More hip hop conversation. We're probably going to talk about these minstrels, so prepare yourself. Then, of course, we have the Comic Shop with more Daryl B. He's always entertaining, as are we. So it is what it is, folks. Stick around Sunday, 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, Saturday, pardon me. Saturday, our new time, Saturday, 6 p.m. All right, this is New Eureka Soul. See you on Saturday. It's been real.